Welcome to another episode of the She's My Sister podcast. It has been a little bit since we last updated you guys. So there have been some big life changes with us sisters. And the biggest one for me, this is Maddie speaking, by the way, is that I am due to have my first baby in less than one week from today. And we haven't talked about it at all on the podcast. I'm sure majority of you listening already know. But, yeah, we're having a baby boy. Yeah,
what's his name?
We're not announcing his name until he's born.
I was wondering if I could get you to slip.
But, yeah, I mean, you don't have long to wait now. He'll be here, hopefully. I'm crossing my fingers he'll be here before his due date. But, yeah, we're very excited, and we're ready for him. So whenever he's ready, we're just waiting.
Is that my cue?
Yes.
All right, so this is Katie speaking. Last time we recorded an episode, we focused on like infertility and trying to conceive. And I have some big news and can now announce that I am pregnant.
Yay!
Our second child. I am currently 16 weeks along. So my due date is end of January. We are beyond excited. And I know I've heard from a lot of people that were praying for us and sending us good thoughts, and we're really supportive through all of that. So thank you so much.
Yay.
So there's a lot of baby talk going around between us. So we are going to go ahead and focus all of today's episode on all things pregnancy.
But first, Amy is going to give her life update because we got to know what's going on in Amy's world.
Do tell, Amy.
Well, I've been doing a lot of yard sailing lately. So that's been good. You know, rewatching Gilmore Girls for the third time. And
Amy, I started rewatching it too, just because it's turning into fall, and so I started watching it again.
You guys, it's still August. I can understand Amy's excuse because it's starting to get cool and chilly in Alaska, but this week.
I think it's because I like want the baby to be here so bad that like I want it to be fall already, because I know that when he's here it'll be like about to be fall.
Yeah.
I'm just over the hot and being super, super pregnant in it, so.
That's fair. Oh, and Jade and I both had some pretty big knee surgeries this spring and summer, so it's just been a lot of, you know, kind of working on PT and relaxing and trying to get all healed up.
What other medical procedures have you done lately?
Well, I went to the ER a couple times for my stomach because they thought I had an ulcer. So no medical procedures there, but they did take my blood a lot. At one point in the ER, the nurse was concerned about how pale I was. And mom was like, nope, that's kind of just how she looks. And he told me I was like a vampire. So that was cool. And then he continued to take my blood. So pot kettle, but yeah, that was my summer.
We want to talk about some of the annoying or uncomfortable parts of pregnancy, and then we'll circle back around to all the fun, exciting parts so we don't end on a negative note. But I feel like we would be doing a disservice to everyone by not being completely honest about what you're getting yourself into here. Madeline, since you're much further along, I feel like you're definitely more in that uncomfortable stage right now. What would you have to add to that?
You know, honestly, like, I was doing really good, and then when I hit, like, 37 weeks, I just, like, that was when it hit me. Like, I just got, like, a lot of pelvic pressure and just pressure in general. He feels like he grew a ton at the very end or something. Just feels heavy in there. But I would still, any day, take this over the first trimester because the first trimester was the hardest for me with the, I just kind of didn't feel like myself because I was sick all the time. Right. And like, it's hard also because usually in the first trimester, like, for a lot of people, everyone else doesn't know yet. And you're not showing or anything, so you have to, like, act like you're fine. You're still going to work just as usual. And, yeah, like, the fatigue was something I've never felt before. Like, I could have slept all day long, every day, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, just, like, feeling sick all the time and super, super emotional. I remember there was, like, there was a time period where I only wanted to watch Disney movies, and Disney movies themselves would make me cry.
Well, but, that's not just an exclusively pregnant thing. I think everyone cried when Mufasa died and in Inside Out, and there's so many like that.
I guess true. I could just contain it a little better before. Now, like, in that first little while there, I was like, oh, man, it was hard. And then I had some food aversions, so. But, like, right around, like, where you're at now, Katie, was when things started to get better in that mm-hmm. respect. It took way into my third trimester to want to drink coffee again. It's finally sounding good, which I think is a blessing because I'm sure when the baby's here, I'm going to need it a bit.
Right. What specifically, what foods were you having aversions to?
I had a really hard time with a lot of meat. Like, I couldn't eat.
Yeah.
Hardly any kind of meat, honestly, in the beginning there. And, like, when we would go to the grocery store, I had to avoid the meat section altogether, like the raw meat.
Mm-hmm.
The smell was very strong.
That was definitely the hardest, like, scent odors for me with when I was pregnant with Josie. And with this pregnancy, raw meat, like, and the smell of it cooking. So Aaron, anytime we were getting dinner ready, he would do that portion of the dinner. Just mm-hmm. getting all of the meat cooked.
So once it was cooked, you were fine, though?
For the most part, once it was cooked, it still didn't sound good, but it wasn't as bad. Like, for me, it was more like food, just any food. Nothing sounded good. Everything just sounded like it was going to make me throw up. I just didn't want anything. But then if I just kind of, like, powered through and took a couple bites, then it was like I could continue going with it. Like, once you got past that, it was okay. You know, the first way I realized that I thought I might be pregnant was I went to brush my teeth, and I gagged.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Just the, like, I couldn't brush my tongue without gagging. And I hadn't even taken a pregnancy test or anything yet, and I went, uh-oh. I bet that's what's going on, because that happened with Josie too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was super early on, and that was the very first, like, sign I had. It was like before I was feeling bad or anything. Like, that was the very first sign I had, though. And I'm not having, like, food aversions anymore or anything, so I'm not feeling nauseated anymore, which is really, really nice.
Yeah,
that's a long time.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? Like, the second trimester, it really is, like, the golden time. Like, you have this cute little bump that you can dress up, and you feel better, and you have more energy.
I definitely feel like, so my doctor actually mentioned this before it started. She goes, just so you know, not always, but oftentimes, you know, like, things that happen in your first pregnancy, like, if you had back pain or sciatica or anything like that, you'll probably get it with the second one, but they oftentimes present themselves earlier on. And I thought, oh, great. And that's been true. So I had, like, a lot of back pain when I was pregnant with Josie, and that's already started, which is much earlier than it was when I was pregnant with her.
Is it, like, low back pain or, like?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, that's, it's, like, low back pain. Like, it almost kind of feels like my tailbone is out of joint. Like, not where, I don't know. If it's not super comfortable.
So, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
What was the most, like, oh my gosh, that happens during pregnancy that you found out only once you were already pregnant?
Something that I was not anticipating. Like, I'd heard it from people, but I didn't really experience it. I didn't realize, like, oh, you can definitely start leaking before you have the baby.
Oh. Oh, like milk, you mean?
Yeah, because that definitely started happening to me, I remember. And I remember thinking, like, wait a minute.
Wait, did that happen with Josie, too?
It hasn't happened with this one. It happened with Josie, like, not this early on. I was definitely in my third trimester when it started.
That hasn't happened to me, and a lot of people say that happens, and I haven't had that at all.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hopefully
you sound left out, Maddie. I don't know if it's happening.
Well, I was hearing about all these women that were like, yeah, I started leaking at like 20 weeks, and I'm like, I'm about to have my baby, and there have been no signs. I'm like, am I going to be able to feed my child? Like,
oh, I don't know that it happens to everybody.
I don't think it does. It's just surprising that, like, I haven't had any, but maybe it's, I don't know. It's very weird. Right. It's really weird how like certain things happen to some people and then another person won't even ever have it and vice versa. It's just like weird.
Well, like for example, I was just FaceTiming you last week and I said, Madeline, show me your ankles, and they looked completely normal. Whereas at this point when I was pregnant with Josie, I was so swollen that I had to wear slippers to work. I could not fit in my feet into any other kinds of shoes. I had to wear slippers. Like, I had the most massive ankles. I was so swollen. Just the amount of water weight. I don't understand why. I was so puffy. That was one of the most uncomfortable things, I think. Interesting how some people get it and some people don't. And, like, I was very active with that pregnancy. So it was, like, just kind of a genetic thing. I don't know.
I have heard some women say that, like, their first pregnancy that they'll have that, and then the next one they don't have it at all. So it kind of seems like it's a random thing too. Mm-hmm. Maybe you won't have it. Yeah, maybe you won't with this baby.
Oh, I have a question. Have you had anyone come up and touch your belly without asking, or people, even if they've asked, maybe someone that you don't really know very well that you don't necessarily want touching your belly?
No, I actually haven't had that. But honestly, like, because of COVID and stuff, I've been just very, I'm not out in, like, social situations often as it is. Like, I haven't been in situations where that would happen, I feel like. Like, I go to the store every once in a while and stuff, but strangers haven't done that. So, no, not that's really. Good. Which, yeah. The one
good thing that's come out of COVID is you don't have strangers coming up and touching your belly.
Yeah. People do stare at you though when you're pregnant, like as if they've never seen it before, which is new to me. That was very much like the first couple times I noticed it, I was like, no, it's in your head. And then like we were out at the store and Anton was like, no, yeah, everyone is staring at you.
Yeah. I definitely had a few people touch my belly, and I didn't mind if it was like, you know, like a family member or like a close friend, especially if they said, you know, can I, you know, asked if they could first, you know. But I remember one time I was in a store and this woman I had never met goes, she asked at least, but she goes, can I touch your belly? And I was like it just threw me off guard.
This was a stranger?
Yeah.
Can I touch yours?
And so I was talking to one of my good friends and she was pregnant at the same time and she had it happen to her too. And then it also happened to me with a woman that was a parent of one of my students. And she was really sweet and she asked, and like, I knew her pretty well. I like her a lot. But all three of them happened to be Asian women and I was talking to her about it and it's like a good luck thing. So it's like good luck to rub a pregnant woman's belly. And so it made a little bit more sense to me, like, oh, that's why this random woman in the grocery store wanted to touch my stomach.
Oh, huh. That's interesting.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that before. So I was thankful that she explained it to me.
Katie, did you get your membrane stripped with Josie?
No.
What?
What does that mean?
I'm getting that done tomorrow.
What is that? Why mean? Are you so in my? I mean, I didn't have that done. Just from like my limited knowledge of it, I thought that was something you do, like if you're like go over your due date, like if you're late.
Well, so I will be tomorrow. I'll have 5 days until my due date. Yeah. And so they only do them from starting at 39 weeks, mm-hmm. and they can do them once you're over your due date, but basically I want to avoid induction if possible. Like, I don't want to have to do that. And so she's going to sweep my membrane. So what that means is they, like, when they're doing a cervix check to see how dilated you are, they separate the amniotic sac from the walls of the cervix, basically.
Yeah.
And it releases prostaglandins, I believe, which can stimulate labor. So if it works, I'll go into labor within like 12 to 24 hours or something from the sweep.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, also very excited because I just want to have him already. And I really don't want to go over my due date. So I know that they can do it multiple times if you want. But depending on how it goes, and if some people are like, it's no big deal, and some people are like, it's extremely uncomfortable.
Okay, so depending,
it depends on who you ask. Oh, it's no worse than a normal pelvic exam. And like, so I'm like, well, we'll just see how it goes. And if it's no big deal, then if I need to get it done again, I guess I could. But he seems very content in there, and he doesn't seem like he's like wanting to go out. So I'm like, I'm gonna have
to. Pretty cozy in there.
I know. Like, I might have to do something to get this little boy out because he seems pretty happy to just be chilling in there.
Oh man, I went on so many walks and like little and like hikes and stuff there at the end with Josie trying to get her out.
I think that honestly, like, I was just telling Anton the other day, I'm like super, super grateful because I feel like for the most part, like, yeah, there have been hard parts and everything, but there have definitely been a lot more like wonderful, exciting, happy things that have happened. And overall, my pregnancy has been like very smooth, and I'm super glad because sometimes you just hear these stories, you know, that like the entire thing they're sick, or you know, they have a really hard time with complications and things like that. And so I'm just really grateful that for the most part, like, it's been so good. I think like my favorite moments were the very first ultrasound that we went in for. I just seeing the little heartbeat on the screen was like, all of a sudden I was like, oh my gosh, it's real, you know?
It does, because you know, you're like, okay, I know there's a baby in there, but then once you see it, you're like, oh my, it does. Everything is suddenly just completely different.
Yeah, and I remember looking at the screen and I was like, it looks like a little peanut.
I remember thinking Josie looked like a little gummy bear.
Oh, yeah, but then you see the heartbeat and you're like, oh my gosh, it's like, that's my baby, you know?
Yeah.
And then the anatomy scan, so like the 20-week ultrasound, that's when we found out we were having a boy, and that was like super exciting. And when they're...
Did you guys find out there in the office what gender, the gender, or did you wait and find out later?
No, we found out in the office. So the ultrasound tech told us, and like as soon as she put the Doppler like where she needed to see what we were having, we both knew, like, it was obvious. Right. But yeah, that was super exciting.
Good for and baby. Then,
feeling the baby kick for the first time. I think I felt the baby kick right around where you're at now, Katie, for the first time. Uh-huh. And it felt like a little tiny muscle spasm. Like, that's how it feels right at first. And now it's like he sticks his butt out the side of my stomach, and he stretches his legs out. So you can see his foot coming out of my side and his butt coming out the other side. Like, I just, sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so crazy. Amazing, just wild to see, but just those things are so, it's like indescribable how it feels to feel your baby kicking and stuff.
I specifically have enjoyed like getting to announce to different groups of people, like getting to tell people in person and share it with our friends and family. That's been really fun.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
I found out when I was kayaking on a lake over FaceTime.
Yeah, but Amy, you're never going to forget where you were.
True.
I know where I was when Madeline tried to FaceTime you and I, Amy.
Were you in the toilet?
Both of us were.
Oh, yeah.
But girls with IBS are the prettiest, so.
Hey, I haven't been diagnosed yet. Leave me alone.
That's a little off topic, but there's like a corner of the internet about IBS girls and like just jokes to kind of like lighten the pain about having irritable bowel syndrome. And
they're the problems are the prettiest.
Yeah, they always say that. So whenever Katie and Amy are like wallowing with their IBS pains, I tell them that to make them feel better.
Thanks, Maddie. It's not because you actually think we're the prettiest.
No, I do. Okay. I fully believe.
Sure. Sounds like it's a pity thing.
No. So, like, on TikTok, they're always talking about girls with IBS being the prettiest, and I always send them to Amy, and then there will be, like, these ones that are like, this drink will make, or will help relieve constipation within 30 minutes.
Right, you also sent me one where a girl was like bedazzling her squatty potty.
I'm not
making you think of me.
Just to throw it out there, though, squatty potties are also very helpful for pregnant women because it's not just an IBS thing.
Oh no, definitely. Like the third trimester, the baby's so heavy, like on your colon, you need one. They're going to
Didn't know that was part of it.
Basically, they like squish your colon. So like, think of it as like a, like if you had like a pipe, a squishy pipe, and then some like a big baby head was squishing it, so nothing could get out.
Oh,
well, that plus the like relaxant in your body. That's, I mean, obviously there to help like loosen all your ligaments and everything to make birth and like. And making room for the growing baby easier also makes like your intestines and everything like just, and like your peristalsis, everything just moves slower and not work as effectively. So that contributes to it as well. Plus prenatal vitamins are like full of iron. So it's just like a triple whammy right there.
Yeah. Dad was telling me that one time he took mom's prenatal vitamin instead of his vitamin. And that he was, like, the entire day, he was like, man, what's going on with me?
You know what's been really major subject change here? What's been really fun with this pregnancy is getting to see how excited Josie is about being, she says, the best sister.
Only if it's a little girl, though. She doesn't want a little boy.
Well, it's not supposed to, she doesn't want a little boy, because she has, like, several of my friends have little boy babies, and she loves them and gets like, she gets so excited to like see them and be around them. But every time I ask, she always says baby sister. I'm trying to prepare her, just saying, you know, like they could be a boy, we don't know yet. And she goes, no, baby sister. So it'll be funny if she is right.
Are you gonna tell her in like a certain way or?
I don't know yet. I will. We'll probably just tell her. We probably won't do anything like, you know, we won't do like a big gender reveal with her. When we found out, but with Josie, what we had the technician write down the gender on in like an envelope, and then Aaron and I just opened it when we got home, so that like we just wanted to do it by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll probably do something like that again. And then we'll just open it at the same time with her. And the three of us will find out. But it's been really fun. We've been reading, like, big sister books and talking about, you know, like, just preparing her, like, what it's going to be like when there's a new baby and how she can help, what she can do with the baby. And so when I ask her, you know, like, what are you going to do? She goes, I rock baby, get bottle.
Oh.
Like, talk about how she's going to read books and, like, what she's going to do with the baby. And she goes, and so gentle is what she was saying.
That's good.
So she's really excited. And every night, like before she goes to sleep, she says goodnight to the baby. And she looks down and she goes, open, and asks me. So like by open, she wants me to like lift up my shirt. so that she can see my tummy. And then I've learned that I have to use my hand to cover my belly button, because otherwise she takes her finger and she tries to jam it in my belly button, like poke me.
Oh my gosh.
I'm really not a big fan of. So I had to like cover my belly button up, and then she like gives me a kiss. And then last night she goes, high five. And she like high fived my tummy.
Oh,
she went to bed. And earlier today we were playing with her little like soccer ball, and she like accidentally like barely tapped my stomach with it when we were playing. And she goes, oh no, baby, you okay?
Oh, she's looking out.
Yeah, so she's really excited, and I think she's gonna be an awesome big sister, and that's just been really special to see her with that.
You guys should record her reaction when you tell her.
Yeah, I definitely want to do that. With Josie, when we did like a gender reveal, so we did a gender reveal with our family. What we did was we had like these, like, I don't know what they would, are they called smoke bombs, I guess? Like you hold them and then light them and then pink smoke came out.
They're like smoke popper things.
Yeah. So we did that with our family, our side of the family. And then with Aaron's side of the family, I made a cake, and then it was pink inside when they cut into it. I don't know what we're going to do this time once we find out, but I want to do something that kind of, that incorporates Josie, that like Josie gets to participate in. So like, I don't know if she'll wear like a certain color shirt or like, I think it's fun to like decorate like the nursery and do that, like that kind of stuff. So for Josie's nursery, what we did is we, did like a mountains and like woodland animal theme. I made a mobile too, and it was a bunch of like a bear and a chipmunk and a deer, like a bunch of different woodland animals. And then we've got like a mountain, like wooden shelf in there, and I sewed these curtains that have like little foxes and bears and bunnies and hedgehogs on them and stuff. And so I might get a couple like new things to add to it, but I think that's basically just going to stay the same for the new baby. And then Josie's actually going to be moving into her big girl room, as she calls it, which used to be Aaron's office, but now he's working downstairs. And her big girl room, I've been having a lot of fun. Like, I'm doing a great big like flower mural on one wall. So like I wanted to find like big decals or like over wallpaper with like oversized flowers on it, but it was kind of ridiculous just for like one wall's worth. It was going to end up being like several hundred dollars just for wallpaper. And I decided that was ridiculous. So, I drew a bunch of flowers all over the wall in pencil. And then I went to Home Depot and got some paint samples, of colors I liked. And, so I started that this week. Which has actually been really fun. It's been a good project. I think that's something that I need to be more intentional with, is having like an outlet and something that I'm doing just for me. I think like, especially like in the newborn and like that first year of the baby's life, it's like so much is needed of you that like, it's hard to have time for other things outside of that, like your old hobbies and stuff like that. But then like once, you know, like now that Josie's a little older, like, it is easier to be able to do those kind of things, but it's almost like you get sucked into a habit and forget like, oh yeah, what are those things I liked to do that was just for me, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that's important to remember. So I think I need to like make more time for that kind of stuff, because I've been really enjoying and having fun with painting that wall this week. So I'm going to try and be more intentional with that, with the second pregnancy and with the second kid, is making sure that I'm taking time to do things that I enjoy that aren't just
baby related.
But I mean, this one kind of is, since I'm decorating a kid's room, but it's also just like I'm having fun with the painting aspect of it, you know. But just taking time, like showering by yourself doesn't count as like me time, you know, like self-care. Yeah. Time, if that makes sense, you know, like it needs to be more than that. You know what else I think has been fun for us is like, we don't know the gender yet, but it's just been fun. And with Josie too, it's been fun to like talk about different names and like compare our name lists and which ones we like or don't like. Do
you pretty much
that is
have
something your... I have learned, you do not share your baby's name beforehand, because everyone is going to give you an opinion even if they say, oh, we won't say anything, you can still tell if they like the name or not.
No, that's true, because when I was working still, I told, like, a stranger what the name was, because I was like, there's no harm in telling a stranger. Yeah. And I could just tell by her reaction. She said something along the lines of, like, well, your baby will grow into the name, whatever it is. And I was like, okay.
That's supposed to mean.
And I told other people that were like, oh, I love it. That's a wonderful name. You know, but, like, after that experience, I was like, yeah, maybe I don't want to tell a lot of people, because it automatically, like, makes you upset, because you're like, I've already associated this name with my baby. So it's like, it feels right. like you're disrespecting my child right now.
Right.
But, yeah, no, I agree. I think it is. I mean, it's up to who. I mean, if someone wants to tell everybody, then that's fine too.
Oh, right. But yeah, I know some people that, like, they pick it and they tell people and just are like, this is the name. This is what we're going with. And they just can't let other people's opinions bother them. I know, like you were saying, it would bother me. So I am not sharing.
Yeah, I'm just too sensitive for that.
I'm too impatient. You guys are going to know, like, right away.
Did you have a, like, a,
like it.
Did you kind of have names, like, was it easy for you to settle on a name that you both liked, or did, like, you kind of go back and forth on deciding?
So before we knew if it was a girl or boy, we had pretty much decided on a girl name. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, like, my entire life, I've had a list of, like, everybody has their baby name list in their notes, like, everybody.
Every girl.
Every yep. girl does. And anyways, I always had, like, lots of girl names I liked, and then, like, two boy names. I could never think of boy names. And
I do think it's harder for me to pick up boy names for whatever reason.
Yeah, for some reason. I think it's because when I'm going about my day, if I hear a girl name I like, I'm like, oh, I'm going to make a mental note that I like boys for some reason. But anyways, so, yeah, the way that we picked the boy name is I would just read through, like, baby name lists, and I'd kind of just yell out ones that I liked when we were, like, watching TV or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was so funny, because I'd say one that I think he was going to like, and he'd be like, oh, no. And then I'd say one that, like, I thought he would not like, and he'd be like, oh, yeah, I actually kind of like that. The one that we ended up picking, I remember I read it. And I was like, what do you think about this one? And I really liked it. And he was like, I think I really like that. And so then we just kept trying, like, that one with different middle names. And then we started, like, referring to the baby as that name. So it was, like, it just started to feel like it was him, you know? Yeah. And now it's, like, I can't imagine him having another name. So it's, like, it just, it just feels right.
You know, in movies, how they, like, never have the name picked, and then the doctor's like, what do we put on the birth certificate? And they still can't decide. I'm like, how often does that actually happen? Like,
yeah,
who doesn't have a list?
We had kind of a boy name, with, like, a couple boy names we liked, and we had a couple girl names we liked before we knew the gender, and then we found out the gender, and then it was kind of, like, easier. Then it's easier just to, like, focus on one. Yeah. And I felt like I was coming up with all these names, and every time I'd say one, Aaron was like, nah, no. And he just kept, and I was like, okay, you can't say no to everything. Like, you have to either, like, come up with some too, or, like, be okay with some of mine that I like. And then there were a couple that he was like, oh, that's all right. That one's not bad. Like, let's keep thinking about that. And then, like, a week goes by or whatever, and I told him a few that I really liked. And then we're driving in the car, camera where we were going, and he goes, what do you think about Josephine? Like, as if he had just come up with it. And I was like, oh my gosh, you knew that was, like, on my top list. And he was like, I heard that name and I really like that one. I thought you might like it. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh my, you're like, that was my great grandma's name. So.
Yeah. So we went with that, and then her middle name is our grandma's middle name. I always really liked the middle name Ray, so Josephine Ray. And then for this next one, some friends of ours told me about this name app that, like, it's kind of like Tinder. Like, you swipe right or swipe left, depending on the name. When your partner have, it's like a joint account. So Aaron had the same one, and then we would, like, swipe left or right on names. And then if you both swipe right on a name, then it, like, matches and it shows you that you both liked it. So that one kind of gave us a few, like, an idea of kind of, like, what kind of names we were both liking and looking at. We've also been, I've been finding it interesting to look at, like, back at ours and his, like, family trees, like, way back, and get, like, kind of, like, middle name ideas and stuff. So,
So have you guys decided on a name, or are you still?
We haven't yet. I've got, like, a couple boy names and a couple girl names that we kind of keep, like, circling back to.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think we have, like, a set one for either one. I know at least with Josie, it was a lot easier once we knew what the gender was.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It was a little bit more easier to kind of, a little bit easier just to focus on one or the other. I know I have a couple girl names that, like, I'm really, that I really like. And I've got a girl middle name. I think, so if we have a girl, we have a middle name that we're both set on for sure. And then a couple girl names that are, like, we're going back and forth on. And then we have, like, a couple, same thing, like, a couple boy names that we're pretty set on. So, either way, the baby will have a name.
That's good.
That's the important thing.
So, Madeline, have you already, I'm assuming you've already packed your hospital bag.
Yes, I've had it packed since, like, 34.
So, what are some of the items that you have packed for the to bring with you to the hospital?
Well, everyone tells you to bring a 10-foot charger, so I've got that.
I did find that really helpful.
Of PJs, just like changes of clothes. I have, Anton has a bag of his stuff. We have a baby bag, so like his coming home outfit. And we have like a little sign, like, hello, my name is. And then like, oh, we'll cute. Fill in like the, fill in his weight and all that stuff when he's born. Mm-hmm. And then things that people have suggested to me that I packed were like shower shoes. Oh, I packed a heating pad that you can plug in, just because when it comes to pain relief, heat has been like something that helps me a lot. So I packed a heating mm-hmm. pad.
I think that they provided a heating pad. I think I had one. But good to bring one anyway.
Lots of snacks, because everyone told us yes. to bring snacks. Let's see. I think that's...
I definitely would say, like, definitely agree with the bringing the robe. Like, that was really helpful, because, you know, like, I was in a hospital gown, but then I spent a lot of time, like, walking laps around the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I was walking in my gown, and, like, I don't know why I didn't have my robe on at the time, but anyways, I was walking in my gown, it was in my gown, and I was, like, holding the back of it closed. Like, I kind of had it, like, wrapped around me, right? So that, like, you couldn't just see my booty as I'm walking down the hallway. And one of the nurses, like, passes me, like, that I had in my room. And then she turned around and she goes, oh, honey, come here.
Oh.
She, like, reaches into, like, a closet that's right there. And she got me another gown, which I didn't, like, so this is a little tip. And then she put it on me backwards. So I had my gown on with, like, the opening in the back. And then she put another one on me backwards. So it was, like, a robe. Open in the front. Nice. And I was like, oh, that was smart. And so that's a quick little tip if you get your robe.
Yeah.
Slippers and like fuzzy socks were really nice to have.
I've got those.
So our room had a TV in it, but like, and it had volume, but it was so quiet that like, it was across the room from like where the hospital bed was. Unless you were like right in front of it and like it was silent, you couldn't hear what people were saying on the TV. And it was really annoying, because I wanted something like to distract me and take my mind off things while I was just like, you know,
chilling there.
hanging out. It was so quiet that you couldn't really hear anything. And Crazy Rich Asians, I remember, was on, and it was getting like really good reviews. I remember people saying how funny it was. So I was trying to watch that and like take my mind off of like how much pain I was in, but I couldn't really hear it. And I was like in so much pain that I was like, this isn't funny.
this really isn't a very good movie. I don't know why it's getting such good reviews and why people like it so much. And like,
oh.
And then like months after I had Josie, I was like, maybe that wasn't really the best mindset to be in while I'm trying to watch a movie. Maybe I'll give it another chance. And then I watched it and it was like, oh, this actually is pretty funny.
Oh, yeah.
So, I wasn't really a review of it. So, but for this time, I'm planning on bringing either like our iPad or like our little portable like DVD player and some movies, because it was really frustrating wanting to be able to take my mind off of things and then not being able to like hear anything. Yeah. So I'm planning on bringing that, those things with us.
Any other women screaming in other rooms?
No.
Okay.
It maybe wasn't like a
TV thing.
Yeah.
It's the only reference I have.
Definitely going to bring the snacks, because like depending on what time you get there, you know, there's always gonna be like vending machines and stuff, but like the food court, like there might not be a whole lot of food options.
Well, also with COVID, different hospitals have different regulations, so we called to see if Anton wanted to, can he leave and come back, because for a while it was like once you were there you could not leave. Someone would have to bring you, so like if you wanted food from outside of the hospital, someone would have to bring it to the doors.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so that's like a good thing to check on before, is just see what the, and like also with visitors for us, like we can't have visitors in the hospital. Mm-hmm. So like mom and dad and everybody, I guess they're just gonna have to meet the baby like at home when we bring him back. So just knowing ahead of time.
Might actually be kind of nice for you, just because then you'll have a day or so to like recover a little bit more before you have to, not have to see people, but like you'll have a day to kind of recover, and you know, and to before
and soak it all in.
Yeah.
How many books did you read about pregnancy and giving birth and children in general?
I think I read 2.
I've read like bits and pieces of one that Katie gave me. But mostly, like, honestly, I've used, like, pregnancy apps more than anything.
Yeah, I have had some really helpful pregnancy apps. And then I got Aaron a book that I know he passed on to Anton. I don't know if Anton
that's the one. That's the one that we really like, because it's very, like, short, easy-to-read sections instead of, like, you gave me one, Katie, that I'm sure is, like, very good information, but it's a textbook. And it is, like, so...
I definitely read it.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I was like flipping through it and I was like, holy cow, this is like very intense.
I think that we should link that pregnancy book that we both liked a lot. It's meant specifically for dads, because it like explains kind of like what the woman is going through.
I think that's kind of, why like, I like it.
Yeah, I think that's why I like it. I liked it too, because I remember thinking like, yes, now you understand, like it kind of like explained like, you know, different things that she might be feeling, or
it's like
what might be going on, and
if she's acting crazy, this is normal. If she's crying over very strange things, this also is normal.
I asked Aaron, besides that book, like what were other things, you know, that like stood out to him with pregnancy, or that like were surprising to him, or what was helpful, and he just said, you know, like little routines and small habits are going to change, you know. So like he's the one that cleans the litter box now, you know, like you're not supposed to clean litter boxes when you're pregnant. So it's like it's something little, but like little routines are like, I used to always be the one that like I would always get the coffee ready the night before, and then I went through a phase where like I same thing, Matt and I had like a coffee aversion and like could not handle it, and so like he started making the coffee, and like I can handle coffee now again, thankfully.
Yeah.
And so like I've kind of like reverted back to doing that, but he's just like, you know, and then like he started cooking more dinner more often, and just like just be ready to kind of go with the flow, and like, you know, like little habits in your life are going to change. And he was saying he really enjoys like the weekly app, like how like, each week it'll be like your baby is now the size of an avocado or whatever. Like, he really likes looking forward to like every Sunday.
It's an avocado.
And he likes seeing, you know, like what it is, what's going on each week. And like you were saying, Matt, I'm like reading all the different information in the apps. Oh, so then I was just, I know in our next episode, we'll talk more about kind of like your delivery experience and kind of like postpartum and that kind of thing. But I think we should touch on delivery at least a little bit. And something that I think is really important is kind of, you know, like people talk about making a birth plan, and I think it's important to have an idea of what you want going in. You know, like, do you want pain medication or not? Like, different things that you know for sure you want or you know for sure you don't want. But I also think that it's important to keep in mind that the baby has their own plans.
Totally.
So it's important not to kind of build up in your mind, like, the perfect birth, if that's even a thing. And then not see the beauty or the perfection of a birth that's like is just as wonderful, but it's different than what you had gone into it planning. Like, we are not in control of everything. And, you know, like, I had this like plan in my head of like, I wanted to have a natural childbirth, and I didn't want to do pain medication. I didn't want to have an epidural. I didn't want to be induced, any of that. But then my water broke at 1 o'clock in the morning. And after being in labor for over 18 hours, they were kind of like, hey, you need to have this baby. Like, you're supposed to have a baby within 24 hours after your water breaks to avoid, like, risk of infection.
Right.
So it was kind of like, okay, like, best laid plans. But then you also need to be ready to kind of go with the flow and realize, like, it might not work out the way you had in mind. But that doesn't mean it's not wonderful. You know, it doesn't mean, like, oh, my body failed me, or, like, just because things do change doesn't mean it's not like as good. I think it was hard for me to kind of like let go of what I had originally planned, you know.
Yeah.
I, as you know, I'm a planner and I want things to go like to plan,
right?
And that's just a situation where there's a good chance that it's not going to go to plan.
Totally.
You know, and I think that, you know, whether you have a natural birth or a medicated or a C-section, I think that, you know, like, no one single way is like the easy way out or like the best way. They're all like, you're going to end up with a baby out of all of them. So all of them are just like completely amazing and wonderful. And I think that they all should be celebrated as such. So I just think that's really important to go into. And then one thing that was, I think, that might be helpful for you, Madeline, I know it was for me, is having kind of like a mantra in your head that like you play over and over, like that you can like kind of like go back to, like if you're, you know, like if you're having a contraction or whatever, just like that you repeat in your head.
Yeah.
I know I had a mantra in my head, but then I also had like an image, and I remember the image was like water ripples, like waves. Uh-huh. And it was like, I would breathe in, and then I would like imagine, like, I would look at like the water waves like flowing away from me as I was like exhaling, and it was like, okay, I'm exhaling all this pain out.
Yeah, no, and I've really, like, heard
that visualization did help.
That's like a real pain management strategy.
Yeah.
That they talked about in like childbirth classes. But I also saw this girl who, what she would do is, she was, you know how you have the monitor that tells you like how strong your contraction is?
Yeah, that's actually kind of cool to watch.
Yeah, she would have her, so she wouldn't be looking at it, because she was actually, she hadn't had an epidural or anything yet, so she was still, like, walking around, and she would be, like, you know, doing, like, a position that helps with pain management, and she would have her husband read the numbers off, so, like, he would read the buildup to her, so, like, 20, 30, 40, 50, and then when it'd get to the top, he's like, okay, we're coming back down now, so that she could kind of, like, know that it's like, okay, I've reached the peak, it's coming back down, like I know this is coming to an end type of thing. So it was like, I don't know, that seemed helpful, just the way that he was like, you know, reading it off to her so that she could just focus on her breathing and know like, okay, I've hit the top, I'm coming back down, you know.
Right. Yeah, that's a really good way that like your partner can be there to like support you. And
that's what I was thinking. And then in our classes we learned a lot of like, you know, the different positions that you can be in to help with the pain. And they taught us the double hip squeeze, which I have him do to me sometimes just like randomly because my hips hurt so bad.
Yeah.
But I mean, it feels good now in pregnancy. So I'm sure that when I'm, you know, in labor, it'll feel good too.
Mm-hmm.
But they also, I remember, Katie, you were telling me that they had you guys hold ice cubes to,
yeah,
to mimic the pain. At mine, they had us put clothespins on the back of our, you know, like that spot on a bee sting.
Oh, ouch. Yeah,
so they had us put clothespins on that, and it did hurt pretty bad, but at the same time, I was like, I can, like, breathe through this and, like, think about other things. And so she would have, like, you know, the partner would be helping doing, like, the pain management strategy versus the first time we did it, they didn't. And it really did make a difference. Like,
it does, yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Like, one thing they had us do was, like, when we were holding the ice cube, then they had us, like, suck on a piece of candy. And when you're sucking on the candy, you're not as focused on, like, the pain because you're, like, thinking about, like, the flavor and what, like, and all of that. So, like, so that was something that was like, oh, that could be an option too.
Yeah, I packed some sour candy. I don't know if they'll let me eat anything in labor because I know a lot of the time they don't allow food just in case you were to have a C-section. But I did bring some just in case. But
yeah, they might.
You never know.
Yeah, have you been doing any like nesting, like a lot of nesting lately or anything?
Oh, yes. Yesterday, I shampooed all the carpets in our house while Anton was at work.
And I did that, too. I did that, like, the week before I had Josie.
You did? Oh, my gosh. And it was, like, it's so weird because at the end, especially, like, you'll get these random bursts of energy where you, like, clean and organize and do these weird things that, like, I was cleaning the vents the other day with a vacuum cleaner, and, but then it's, like, as soon as you sit down from it, you are just, like, oh, my gosh, I am so exhausted, like,
right
now I need to sleep for, like, a very long time, so, yeah, it's well, very weird.
Things like, I was stocking up on food and different supplies. It was almost like I was, like, doomsday prepping, like, I don't know, it's, like, I thought I was never gonna be able to go to a grocery store, like, leave the house again.
Katie, you should see our freezer. We have it stocked full of stuff. Like,
we have like good freezer meals and baked goods and that kind of stuff.
We have a lot of freezer stuff, and yeah, it does. It is weird. It's like I was telling Anton, I was like, we need to stock up on like toothpaste and fabric softener and all this.
That's the kind of stuff I was doing, Madeline.
And then I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, why do we need to stock up on this? Like, we could probably just go to the store.
Right.
It's really weird. It's like you feel like you have to like take care of every single thing possible.
Well, and you know what else to take advantage of is like Click List or like Instacart, and especially not like with COVID, like a lot of places waived, like they no longer have like an extra fee for Click List, like just to go pick up your groceries.
That's what we've been doing, is picking them up.
Whereas, like, I don't know, maybe I just didn't know about it, but I don't really remember it being a big thing, or maybe, it, like, I think there might have been an extra fee attached or something, but, like, I didn't use it when Josie was a newborn. I didn't start using it, like, I remember she was, like, a year old when someone was like, hey, have you done this? And I was like, where was this grocery pickup thing when I had a newborn? You know, like, it's so helpful.
It's, like, the best thing ever. That's what we've been doing just to get groceries. And that way we also get groceries from the cheapest. Like, I hate going to Walmart, honestly. But if I order them online and just drive up and they put them in the car, then I don't mind it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's, like, we get the best deals. Plus, it's easy. And, yeah. And I don't have to worry about COVID or anything. So it's been really nice.
I know. I definitely I made a lot of freezer meals, like, I made these, like enchiladas, and then I made, like, a lot of crock pot meals that all I had to do was, like, throw in the crock pot. I've got a few that, like, some of them were, like, yeah, that wasn't so good, and then I've got some that were really, really good that I can link recipes to. And then I made a lot of, like lactation, like, oatmeal muffins.
Mm-hmm.
And burritos, like stuff that I could eat one-handed, so that like, because there were so many times where I'd be stuck like breastfeeding and then I couldn't get up, like I'd have Erin bring me food, but then like I was holding her with one hand, so you could only like, and I would just be starving.
Oh gosh.
And so,
yeah,
like, it needs to be something that you could eat one-handed, so like that was something to kind of like keep in mind as you're like getting things ready, is like just having snacks like readily available that you can eat while you're breastfeeding.
Yeah, that's a good idea. But, yeah, I feel like I've done all the things that I can do to prepare, and now we're waiting.
Yeah. Oh, that's so exciting.
It is, and it's also terrifying, but, you know.
Well, Madeline, you can do it.
Oh, thanks.
I believe in you.
Thanks. It's like, I was talking to Anton earlier, and I was like, I feel like, I don't even know if I have a high pain tolerance or not. Like, I have no idea if I do or not. You like, how do you know that? How does anybody
I don't know
that? Because you can't compare yours to...
I think some people who say they have a high pain tolerance are just full of crap. Because you have no idea how other things feel for other people. Unless you've gone through, like, the literally exact same thing. I don't think you can... I don't know. I kind of question when people say that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it just is something they like to brag about themselves. They think it sounds cool.
Like, it's a toughness thing.
Yeah, like, I have a really high... Whenever I've heard someone say they have a high pain tolerance, it sounds really annoying.
At the same time,
they're bragging about it.
I feel like I feel like I've witnessed things where I'm like, how is that person not screaming right now? Like, why? You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, do they have a high pain tolerance, or do other people? Do I have a low pain tolerance?
Or
no?
Are their nerves just not as sensitive as yours?
Like, right.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's interesting, but yeah, I was telling Anton, I was like, the worst I've ever felt, I'm pretty sure, was when Mom told me to eat her Mexican food leftovers that she'd been driving around in the sun all day. And literally, like, 20 minutes after I finished eating them, I was on the bathroom floor. Like, oh my gosh, I felt like I was going to die. I've never sweat so much in my life. I passed out in Mom and Dad's bathroom. Like, it was, I was all alone. It was horrible.
Well, birth should be a piece of cake then, Madeline.
I don't know, because I've had people describe labor as food poisoning, and I'm like, great.
I don't know. Maybe for some women it is, but I do not think that was definitely not what my experience was. I don't think it's hard because you can't really compare it to anything else. There's not really anything else that feels the same way.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
it definitely was not like food poisoning.
I've been getting like a lot of, I'm assuming they're Braxton Hicks contractions, but they've gotten stronger the further I've gotten.
Yeah.
And so, like, I kind of have an idea of the sensation. I'm assuming it's just going to be multiplied by, like, 100.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a very weird feeling that I've never felt before pregnancy. Uh-huh. It's like a spontaneous, very tight, squeezing, pressure-y feel.
Yeah. Pressure, I think, is the best
description.
Yeah. And I definitely think that postpartum will be a very important episode to go over.
Yeah, I assume that'll probably be our next episode, but I'm like super excited. It's just, it is nerve-wracking not knowing what to expect, and I think that that's the thing, that it's like fear of the unknown. Like, I just don't know what's coming. And to be, you know, for anybody who might be listening that is pregnant, like, so far, all the things that people made me scared of were so much easier and way less scary than I thought they were going to be. Like, the group B strep test was literally nothing, and people scared me about it. The glucose drink, everyone was like, you're going to want to pass out and throw up, and it's disgusting. And honestly, it tasted like orange pop, and it was fine.
It wasn't even that bad. It just kind of tastes like flat pop.
Yeah, it's literally like, I just, and I don't want to invalidate other people's experiences, but what I'm saying is that you never know what it's going to be for you, so I need to, like, keep that mindset as I go into, you know, like, the labor and delivery process, and hopefully I can just remain calm, and everything's going to go great, I know it, and
it will.
Once I'm holding him, I know that I'm not going to have a care in the world.
You won't. That's the very, very best feeling there is.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
You don't
for that.
Even as soon as you hold your baby, you don't even care. Nothing else matters. So,
and I oh my gosh. I mean, I've been dreaming about what he looks like for the past 9 months. So
yeah,
I'm just super excited.
Go away. Even once they're older, like last night, I was holding Josie before she went to sleep, and that feeling doesn't go away.
Aw,
so
that's so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we're very excited, and I'm excited to update you all.
Yeah.
Once he's here.
We are very excited, Madeline. We can't wait. So.
Yay. Well, we're very excited that he's going to have a cousin that's only going to be like 5 months younger. So.
Yeah, there'll be a lot going on pretty soon. So. All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening. And I really thank you so much for all the support and all the prayers coming our way.
Yes. Yes, yes. So, check the show notes for any links or anything that we may have talked about. We'll try and put them all in there. And make sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook. And any last remarks? Oh, yes. Please leave us a 5-star rating and review.
All right.